Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Trump government efficiency initiative being spearheaded by billionaire Elon Musk hit a snag.
A lawsuit brought by three federal unions resulted in a temporary agreement to prohibit the Treasury Department from sharing sensitive financial information. Two Treasury Department employees associated with Musk will continue to have read-only access to the data. That potentially includes the names, phone numbers, social security numbers, and bank information for millions of taxpayers. Peter Harlambous, ABC News, New York.
Federal judge in Maryland struck down the president's executive order ending birthright citizenship in the U.S., second judge to do so. So-called Proud Boys need a new name. A judge in Washington, D.C. awarded control of the trademark to D.C.'s Metropolitan AME Church after the group defaulted on a nearly $3 million vandalism judgment related to a December 2020 rally. A sixth person has died in the wake of the massive illegal fireworks explosion in Honolulu over New Year's. So far, 10 have been arrested. This is ABC News. Federal public health officials at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that disparities continue between black women and white women who are pregnant.
The CDC says in 2023, black women in the U.S. died at a rate nearly 3.5 times higher than white women at the time of childbirth. That's higher than the maternal death rate in 2021 and 22, leading March of Dimes Interim Medical Director Dr. Amanda Williams to conclude that the pandemic affected women of all races. But once we went back to regular activities, the impact of systemic racism and unequal access to maternal health care went back into place. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
From the Where Are They Now file, Daniel Penny, the one-time Marine who was acquitted of choking Jordan Neely to death on a New York City subway train, has been hired as a deal partner at Silicon Valley venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz. Co-founder and general partner Mark Andreessen is close to President Trump. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks beat the Hornets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite Giannis Antetokounmpo out with a calf injury, the Bucks able to beat the Charlotte Hornets 112-102. The win snapped a four-game losing streak. After the game, we learned the Bucks made another trade, sending guard DeLon Wright and some cash to the New York Knicks for 6'10" center Jericho Sims. That after trading Chris Middleton to the Wizards after 12 seasons in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard said due to injuries, the big three with him, Giannis, and Chris never happened.
He gets moved and you look back and it's like, man, we never really got that real shot and that real stretch to really go do what we had plans to do. It's unfortunate, but, it's part of the game and it's part of this league.
NFL Packers running back Josh Jacobs asked at the Super Bowl if he's been actively recruiting free agents to come to Green Bay.
Put it like this, man. I've talked to a few guys. Obviously, I can't like actually recruit them, but I'm just like, look, you thinking about it, this place is not going to disappoint you.
That's the Packers' Josh Jacobs with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. It's actually more like a half pick, as I sort of enjoyed the film Amelia Perez. The musical crime drama, yes, you heard that right, has 13 Oscar nominations, including for Best Picture. The story is about a ruthless drug cartel boss who hires a lawyer, played by Zoe Saldana, to help him through the gender transitioning process and to help him disappear afterwards. The logline really grabbed me, but I thought it started slow and didn't like the look of it. It did pick up steam and provided some gripping, intense moments. Ultimately, it's a little unsatisfying, in my opinion, and I tend to agree with the reviews it received on Rotten Tomatoes. The film got a 73% fresh rating from critics, which is good, but a little lower than you'd expect for a film nominated for 13 Oscars. Only 18% of audiences like the film. Having said that, it still might be worth a watch, as you don't see many musical crime thrillers where cartel bosses have sex change operations. The film is free to view on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Winter weather advisory continues for snow overnight. By sunrise, we'll have 2 to 4 inches of snow on the ground from the overnight activity. Lows near 20 degrees. Thursday, early snow, clouds, and temperatures falling to near 10. Right now, it's 19.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan rolls out the Elon Musk Act to ban special government employees. Plus, how many genders are there? Are you sure? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, producer Conrad here for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete is feeling a little under the weather tonight, so we're going to have a best of show for you with Anders Lindwall and Katie Scullin. And we'll be back live tomorrow for a great and fun show. Hope you enjoy.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy still not convinced computers are here to stay, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Let's light it up. It is a Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin, a beautiful but frigid night. I am coming to you live from Madison, Wisconsin tonight. Always fun to do the show from here. Conrad is holding the fort down back in Green Bay, and things look pretty normal there, Conrad. I have to say, you look like you're not up to no good. I can see that you're towing the company line there in my absence. So thank you for that.
You don't see
how you doing tonight, buddy.
I mean, you don't see the kegs all around, so they're on the other side of the studio.
That's all right. Is that from you or Mino and the mayor?
Well, we had a mixed party.
You know, when I was your age, if I had to do a morning show starting at 6 a.m., there are nights when I could have just gone right onto the air from a party. Like, I would have just stayed up. I could never do that now, but this is actually the perfect time slot. Wherever you are joining us from in the great state of Wisconsin, folks, it is great to have you with me on this Monday. We all need some cheering up. It's the first week of ordinary time, I would say, after the holidays. And we all, we probably all need a pick-me-up. I know that I kind of let the holidays go an extra weekend. I did really almost nothing this past weekend except hang out with my kids who were home for the holidays and eat some good food. I continue to drink non-alcoholic beers at an alarming pace. And I am back to it. You got to get back to it. And this is a Monday night, so we all need to pull together, talk about TV, talk about movies, maybe some comedy, and get through this Monday as we start the new year. The one encouraging thing is, and I think this is kind of cool, I think we gain about 30 seconds of daylight every day since the winter solstice, since December 21st. So already we have like, what is that, like 7 extra minutes? No, that's like 2 weeks ago now. So, that's like 7 extra minutes of daylight. So, it's only going to get better. We'll get through January. It will be fun. We'll do it. We'll do Nightlight the way we always do it. We have great guests tonight. Katie Scullin is here in the studio. She is a Madison-based singer-songwriter. She will be joining me live, playing some tunes, talking music. I had Katie on the show before. She's just great, and I love talking to her about her process. And she's got a great voice. She's going to perform live for you guys tonight. And Anders Lindwall will be here. He's the director of Green and Gold, a new film that will be coming to theaters July 31st. And there is a Packer connection. A farmer, played by Craig T. Nelson, bets everything, bets the farm, literally, on the Packers. And Anders got a great cast for this film. He is also a native UPite? Is that how we say that? I will say, Conrad, I don't know what you did over the break mostly. I played a lot of Wii. I did mention that briefly last week. How long has it been since you've played Wii?
I'd say, I mean, probably about like 6 months ago.
Oh, that recently?
Yeah, one of my friends who lives in Green Bay actually has a Wii. And, you know, coming back from the bars, we'd play some Wii bowling. Or our favorite would be Wii golf, though.
Wii golf, I don't even like golf in real life. I find it really frustrating.
Yes.
But Wii golf, I absolutely love. The kids and I, one night, I bet we spent 3 hours doing the 3-point Wii Sports Resort. They have a 3-point contest. And you just shoot and shoot, and it's so much fun, and it is so addicting. So I would say, overall, Wii is my favorite video game. I like the interactivity. I like that you get to stand up if you want to. You're actually doing something, not just using your thumbs. No judgment against other video games, but I find this to be, you have a lot of laughs when you play, too. It's like whether you throw a gutter ball on a video game or the 3-point contest or golf or whatever, so much fun. And, you know, it brought us together over the holidays like it used to 10 years ago. So it was a great holiday season for that reason. And it brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Pretty simple. What is your favorite video game? You have so much to pull from here, folks, too. You can go back to Pong. That might have been the first video game. I don't remember any before that. That doesn't mean they don't exist. But that's the first one I remember. I was very small, very young. And, you know, and I don't know. What was after that? I guess Nintendo? Saving the Princess?
Atari?
Space Invaders in the video arcade. You can go video arcade if you want to. Atari. Then you got Sony PlayStation. I remember playing the James Bond game, Ken Griffey Baseball. I know Super Smash Brothers is huge with my son and his friends from a few years ago. You got Minecraft. So many great video games to choose from. Some they've turned into TV shows like Fallout. And what's the HBO show, the Pedro Pascal? The Last of Us, yep. So video games have a rich history. What is your favorite one? And I'm not a gamer. I mean, I've played a few almost by accident over the years. But I'll say Wii. I love Wii, mostly just because of my memories playing it with my kids. But I would have to say that is by far and away my favorite. If I had to go into the arcade, I would probably say a game like Mr. Do or Dig Dug. Always liked those games, too. I don't like a good game of pinball. But what is your favorite video game? Let us know. Be part of the show. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Love to hear from you. You guys can weigh in on anything we're talking about tonight. As you know, it's always more fun when you guys are part of the show. Coming to you live from Madison tonight, Conrad holding the fort down back in Green Bay. I have a pet peeve, Conrad, regarding sports highlights.
Okay.
So I was kind of flipping back and forth last night between the Golden Globes and Minnesota-Detroit. My son really wanted to watch Minnesota-Detroit. I was in Milwaukee staying with him at his apartment, so his TV kind of won. But after that, we watched highlights. You know what really irritates me is when there's a really exciting game and they show you something from the game, and what do they show you? The game-winning field goal, a 40-yard field goal, the most boring play in the whole game. Show me the play that set the field goal up. You know, the great run, the tiptoe catch on the sidelines. Those are highlights. It's like when you watch like MMA or something, and ESPN always does this. The highlights are a guy laying down, knocked out. Show me the highlight. I know they want to get you to buy it, but the NFL could show something else. To me, that's like lazy. Oh, here's the field goal he kicked. It's not really a highlight. And last night there was like 3 in a row. Just a guy kicking a field goal. Show me a good play. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, field goals are really, they're not easy though. So you can't just go past it.
Boo, boring, don't care. They're not fun to watch. It's a kicker. I hear what you're saying. But I don't think that's the most exciting part of the game. I think they could show a great pass or run or a big tackle, something.
Or that big horse collar.
Oh, and the Bears-Packers. Oh, we haven't talked about that.
The crowd.
Dude, we were so due.
The crowd.
Were you at the game?
Oh, my. Everyone was so mad when it was definitely a horse collar. Terrible tackle on his part. I just let him throw the ball away if he needs to. That was an unacceptable.
Kind of had him on the run.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that was surreal. And right as the announcer, was it Troy Aikman? I can't remember. No,
I was at the game, so I.
Okay.
Yeah, it was cold.
It looked cold, and it looked. Did you see? What did you think of Craig T. Nelson singing the national anthem?
I think he did a really good job. I thought.
Really?
You didn't like? You didn't like it?
He did a good job. He carried a tune.
Yeah.
I don't think, and maybe I'm holding him up to, like, we have Katie Sculling coming in here tonight. She's a great singer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Craig T. Nelson is a great singer. He did a good job.
Yeah, he did a good job.
You know.
There was someone behind me when he was singing. He's like, come on, give it some. He's like, come on, sing.
He was saying that to Craig T.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. The guy's 80 years old. You know, it was kind of cool that he was there. He had really cool stuff to say about Lambeau and being there.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. The movie, you know, I didn't really know anything about it until Clemens was on the show last week and started talking about it. So now I'm very curious. I want to get someone from the movie on the show because I guess they filmed it primarily in Door County. So we'll have to look more into that. But apparently it's a story about a farmer who bets everything on the Packers to save his farm. Might also be a gambling addict. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
if it depends what year it is, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, and then we've got Golden Globes to talk about. I thought, you know, from what I saw the broadcast, and I saw most of it over the course of today and some of it last night, I thought it was great. You know, last year was the Joe Coy fiasco with him emceeing and, like, offending the writers and all that kind of stuff, and he got the gig last minute. I thought Nikki Glaser, she's kind of hit or miss for me, but she is funny and she's a presence. And I thought she did a pretty good job. You don't, though. Or did you like her?
No. Okay. So I said there were some moments where I was like, it was kind of cringy a little bit to me. But yeah. I mean, still Nikki Glaser. I think she's a great comedian. So I still enjoyed it.
The Timothy Chalamet joke was very funny. I really like your lashes above your lip.
I got the
good joke.
The clip where he's or she's talking to Adam Sandler. If you want me to play it,
oh, let's hear. Do we have time for that?
Yeah,
let's play that. This is Nikki Glaser from last night at the Golden Globes.
Actually, your name sounds like something Adam Sandler would say. No, Salome, Timothy Salome. Oh yeah, Timothy Salome. I think Sandler's here. Sandler, can I get a Salome?
Chalamet.
Oh, Chalamet. A good Chalamet to you, sir. A Chalamet to you.
That's a great moment. That's good TV. It was nice of her to engage Sandler. He doesn't get that much attention, so it was nice for her to rope him in. And I thought her joke about Dune was funny, too, when she was talking to Zendaya, and she said, I loved all your parts in Dune. I woke up for them, or something like that. It was good. I thought she did a good job. And some good moments and big wins. We'll talk all about that with Matt Miller at 7:20 coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour. Katie Scullin is in the hizzy. That means house Conrad. I'm street. Katie will be here in studio. Very excited to have her. And we'll read some of your texts coming up next.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet, and we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Paula from the 920 says, "When the boys were younger, we played Wii Bowling. It's good family fun. Should have kept it." Paula, I think the game was kept, and it landed in your son's...
No, remember I said we got rid of it, and I regret not having it anymore, because I would definitely have that at my house right now.
Do you think Wii Bowling makes you better at actual bowling?
I don't think so.
Do you use the bumpers? No, probably not. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is what is your favorite video game? I did nothing but drink non-alcoholic beer, sit on my butt, and play Wii for 2 weeks. I was sick before that. I feel like, Conrad, I was looking good for a while, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I was working hard, man. I had a 1.5 pack going, and now I'm back to like nothing. So I have to turn it around. And I think Wii is one of those games. It like gets you up on your feet. You're doing stuff. That's my favorite video game. What's yours? I'd love to know. 855-752-4842. And what was yours again, K-Man?
Oh, my favorite video game? Oh, yeah. Wow, that's... I'd say when I was younger, it was definitely Guitar Hero.
Interesting.
Because I think... Okay. My brother had it, and we would always kind of bond over that. Otherwise, right now...
That's excellent.
I've been playing video games for my whole life, pretty much. I don't think it's a waste of time. I think it's a lot of fun.
I didn't say it was a waste of time. I mean, I'm not schooled in video games. No, I played a few. You know, in college, we used to sit there for hours and try to save the princess.
yeah,
go ahead.
Right now I'd say it's any sports game, actually. I'll play NBA games, NFL games, NHL games, name it, I'll probably play it.
I try to do that. I try to play like my son will always want me to play Madden, and I lose like 142 to nothing. Like, I'm never playing that again. Why would I ever play that again? And I'm not gonna play it and practice at it to get good, because that just seems pathetic. But Eric from Madison says, Bosconian. I need some help with that one. Is that a video game that you're aware of?
I think it's like Space Invaders, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. I love Space Invaders. Thank you, Eric. Ronnie from Horicon says, Pac-Man, one of the classics. Love Pac-Man. Anytime there's a video game that they spin a song, someone creates a song out of it, that's pretty big time.
Yeah.
There's Pac-Man Fever. I don't know if you can find that. We can...
Okay.
Some of that. It was not a great song, but I mean, it's impressive. I used to love Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man. Steve from Florida, he's in the 920, says, my brother bought the Nintendo game back in the day, 80s. At first, I thought, why are you wasting money on a stupid game? It turns out I ended up getting addicted to the game, where I ended up saving the princess. Wow. That's a serious time commitment. That's impressive. The sad thing is, when I saved the princess, I was playing by myself and wasn't able to share the experience with my brother and friends. So I think you're making it up. You believe your dad saved... Your dad, is he an embellisher, Conrad?
I think he saved the princess. I think he did it.
Like, who would lie about that? It's not going to help you get girls when you're 20. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I saved the princess.
Oh, yeah. Are you dating anyone? I believe you're dead. Monica from the 608, she's in Mount Horeb, says, grew up on Pong, but we didn't have other video games. For a while, they had a youth center in my town, and I was the queen of pinball. Pinball's awesome. Totally with you, Monica. She says, I could play all evening on 75 cents. My parents got a computer after I moved out. When I would visit, my dad would say he knew I was playing Tetris when he heard me swearing profusely. Swearing at Tetris. That is some serious comp. That's a competitive person. I don't think I'd want to play any video games with Monica. Nothing personal, Monica. But if you're competitive, you know, I have a friend who is a comedian who is staying at another friend of mine, a comic named Rich Jenny. God rest his soul. Rich went to bed, and our mutual friend was playing Tetris at like 1 in the morning. Rich woke up the next morning, and our friend was still playing Tetris like 7 hours later. Like, that's how, if you have an addictive personality and you have an addictive game, I totally see how that can happen. With my kids this weekend, I was playing, I told you, the three-point contest at We played for 2 hours plus easily. And you sit, and then two other people go, then it's your turn again, and you talk. It's really fun, but that's addicting too. Let's go to the stream. Craig says, favorite video game from the days of the arcades, Battlezone, Robotron, Dragon's Lair, Donkey Kong. Craig's got a few. He says, to be a kid with a pocket of quarters again. I'm not going to make a roll of quarters joke in your pocket, Craig, because I'm way too mature for that. But I get it. Craig says, Port Plaza Mall's Goldmine Arcade. I remember that. Whenever we would go to Green Bay for Marinette, that was always a big deal because they had a bigger arcade than we had in Marinette. Craig also says, Cole Cavision Rules. Do you know what that is, K-Man?
I don't
know what that is. Probably some. Listen, I'm not going to. Craig sounds like he knows his stuff. So, all right. So that's, you got a lot of time to get in on the fun, folks. We've got our question of the night is, what is your favorite video game? And lots of good answers. We're going to talk Golden Globes with Matt Miller. Did you see any of these movies they were talking about, Conrad?
So, I did watch, I bought Wicked because you can get it on Amazon now.
Mm-hmm.
And last time when we talked with Matt, Matt said it was a little too long. Could have ended a little bit earlier. And I agree with that. But I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was great. I really liked Wicked. I think it was Rob Thomas that said there was one dance scene in there where he didn't really understand it. Or it was cut weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that I felt that same way until he said that. But yeah, I'm nitpicking. I really liked it. I thought it was a great movie and lots of fun. My issue with these award shows and like the Golden Globes, especially because it happens right after the holidays, are they release these films like the week before too. You don't have time to see them before the first award show. So I haven't seen The Brutalist yet. I haven't seen Emilia Perez, which is on Netflix, actually. But there's a lot of films that just came out that I haven't seen yet. So, I mean, I got time before the Oscars come out, but I do feel a little bit behind. I want to talk about Landman, too. Maybe I'll talk about that with Matt. I'm not a fan. Taylor Sheridan, I swear to God, like, I like half of his stuff, and I really dislike the other half. So maybe Matt can talk me through that. All right. Katie Scullin is in studio, singer-songwriter based in Madison. She's been on the show before. Very excited to have her here in person. We will talk to Katie, and we will hear her lovely voice on the other side of the news. The news from your Civic Media news team, which keeps you informed and is award-winning, I might add. This is Pete Schwabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Walking with a love, with a love that's all so fine. Never to be mine. No matter how I try, you'll never walk alone, and you're forever talking on the phone, and I try to call your name.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air. ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Trump Government Efficiency Initiative, being spearheaded by billionaire Elon Musk, hit a snag.
A lawsuit brought by three federal unions resulted in a temporary agreement to prohibit the Treasury Department from sharing sensitive financial information. Two Treasury Department employees associated with Musk will continue to have read-only access to the data. That potentially includes the names, phone numbers, social security numbers, and bank information for millions of taxpayers. Peter Harlambous, ABC News, New York.
Federal judge in Maryland struck down the president's executive order ending birthright citizenship in the U.S., second judge to do so. So-called Proud Boys need a new name. A judge in Washington, D.C. awarded control of the trademark to D.C.'s Metropolitan AME Church after the group defaulted on a nearly $3 million vandalism judgment related to a December 2020 rally. A sixth person has died in the wake of the massive illegal fireworks explosion in Honolulu over New Year's. So far, 10 have been arrested. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks beat the Hornets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite Giannis Antetokounmpo out with a calf injury, the Bucks able to beat the Charlotte Hornets 112-102. The win snapped a four-game losing streak. After the game, we learned the Bucks made another trade, sending guard DeLon Wright and some cash to the New York Knicks for 6'10" center Jericho Sims. That after trading Chris Middleton to the Wizards after 12 seasons in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard said due to injuries, the big three with him, Giannis, and Chris never happened.
He gets moved and you look back and it's like, man, we never really got that real shot and that real stretch to really go do what we had plans to do. It's unfortunate, but, it's part of the game and it's part of this league.
NFL Packers running back Josh Jacobs asked at the Super Bowl if he's been actively recruiting free agents to come to Green Bay.
Put it like this, man. I've talked to a few guys. Obviously, I can't like actually recruit them, but I'm just like, look, you thinking about it, this place is not going to disappoint you.
That's the Packers' Josh Jacobs with sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new reboot is on the way, which is not a surprise, as Hollywood seems determined to remake everything it's ever done. This time, it's a new iteration of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Star of the original, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be part of the cast, but not the central focus. This is the second attempt at a reboot. One in 2018 did not quite make it to the little screen. When and if the show drops, it will premiere on Hulu. During a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, actress Nicole Kidman told the host about her favorite keepsake, the handwritten lyrics to Elton John's famous song, Your Song. Kidman was one of the stars of Moulin Rouge, in which the song was featured and sang by Ewan McGregor. Your Song has been covered many times over the years. Great tune. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The snow is done falling for the most part, but it is going to be windy today, so there will be blowing snow at times, especially in rural areas. Today, mostly cloudy, windy, 23, with wind out of the west gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 2 below. Tomorrow, 18, with more snow on the way Friday night into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
In the 3 o'clock hour with my special guest co-host Tom Polsiewicz, we discuss how Trump's heartless ethnic purges will make you and your family less safe right here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, producer Conrad here for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete is feeling a little under the weather tonight, so we are going to have a best of show for you with Anders Lindwall and Katie Scullin. And we'll be back live tomorrow for a great and fun show. Hope you enjoy.
Mark in the 608 says the TV show Chuck had an episode in season 2 where he beat the game Missile Command listening to Rush's Tom Sawyer. I'll take your word for it, Mark. That's incredible. What blows me away now is that people make a living having other people watch them play video games. It's insane. It's like watching fishing. The Brian Regan joke. You're not even fishing. You're watching fishing. So whatever floats your boat. Hey, I'm Pete Schwabo. Welcome back. We are broadcasting statewide from Madison tonight. From W, what is this, Chris? WMDX, right?
Yeah. WMDX.
Yeah. It's always fun to do the show from here. Chris Casper helping out. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, as always. Conrad holding the fort back down, back in Green Bay, telling everyone to keep it down so I don't know he's throwing a party. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She has been on the show before. She's a Madison-based singer-songwriter, and she's awesome in so many ways. And her name is Katie Scullin. Katie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
It's going great. It's so good to have you back. I really enjoyed you being here last time you came down. Do you live far away, or is this an easy commute for you?
It is, yeah. Okay. I'm close by. I live in Oregon, just south of Madison.
Oh, it's like a burb?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Did you have good holidays?
I did. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was
anything
great.
Special? Did you do anything exciting?
Yes. I redid the basement into a boy den for my son, and he was able to have a bunch of friends over for New Year's.
Wow. So, you did that yourself? Are you handy?
I pretend to be. No, I had a little bit of help, but yeah.
Okay.
It was great. We get them.
Very emasculating because I'm not handy at all.
No?
So if you were going to tell me that you put up drywall and, you know, laid down new floors, I would have felt really bad.
I have done some of that, but I get help from my dad.
Oh, that's impressive. Good for you. That's fantastic. And our question of the night, Katie, is what is your favorite video game? When you're not writing songs, do you ever play video games? Do you have a favorite?
My favorite back in the day was Duck Hunt. My son would love for it to be Fortnite. He's a Fortnite kid.
Does he do the dance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The dance is... I love the Fortnite dance. My son did it, too. And it's like, when he and his friends would break out into it...
Right.
It was like the most fun thing to watch. And then, like, professional athletes were doing it, the Fortnite dance. Right. It's just a fun thing. So, and Duck Hunt's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was like a
pretty
big deal. Because that came free with...
It was Nintendo.
Mario Brothers, right?
Nintendo. Yeah.
That's right.
The old school. And then, was it Mario Kart? I always liked that one.
Yeah, Chris likes Mario Kart.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, so we have you here, though, not to talk about video games, but
to talk
music. I didn't make you drive all the way from Oregon to talk about video games. So how have you been? How's the career going? Have you played any good gigs recently? Where are things at?
I've been good, yeah. I've been mostly focused on writing and recording.
Okay.
My goal is to release a full length in 2025. So I have some time, but I've got, you know, like 5 or 6 songs ready to go, 3-4 in the works. But yeah, I've been just really focused on that. Played a couple shows. Indie Tune Up is one that I really like here in Fitchburg.
How long does it take you to like, when you have the concept of a song, to write it down, mess around with it, from that moment to playing it live? What's that process like? How long is that?
I think it depends. Sometimes it will take months, and sometimes I'll write it in like a weekend.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah. Like I wrote one this weekend, which is strange because sometimes I'll go through like seasons of writer's block and won't be able to write anything
at
all.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's too bad. But it all depends.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it takes forever, and then sometimes I'll write a song and I'll go back to it and change it completely. And yeah.
That's good. So here's what I do. Like I play guitar, I'm bad. And I'll think of like one line and I'll go, that could be a song.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a songwriter. And then that line ends up being the only thing I write. And I'll just play like 3 chords and sing that. And I'm like, I have no idea where to go with this. Like I'm pretty amazed just that someone can write a song, even one song.
Yeah.
So how many songs will you have when you feel comfortable putting out a new album, so to speak?
I would love to have at a minimum 9
okay.
songs, I think is a good full-length album. And a lot of people don't really put out full-length albums anymore. It's more of like single-song releases. And I'm kind of doing it, you know, simultaneously. I'll like a single-song release, and then eventually it will be, you know, the whole album, all of those single releases.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, sometimes that's all you need is just one line. That's sort of your vantage
point. To get you going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, when did you feel comfortable? Like, when you started out, I mean, you've been at this at least probably, what, 10 years or so? 8 or 10 years?
More than that.
More than that. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been at it?
I guess probably I started with my brother, in 2009. We started our first band. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's been a while.
So how long did that take when you started playing with your brother and you guys, you know, would perform? How many songs did you feel like you needed before you could play in front of other people? That has to be a big jump.
Oh gosh. I don't know. We probably had 5 to 10 between the two of us, 'cause he started songwriting as well in college, and then I started, and you know, on the weekends we'd meet up and collaborate, and then you know, we started learning cover songs to sort of fill in the gaps. I think the first thing we needed was like a 45-minute set.
Okay.
And then nowadays most of the time it's like a 3-hour set, depending on depending on the type of show that you do. If you're gonna do like cover songs, you want to go, you know, have 3 hours of music.
Yeah. How many of those 3 hours, I mean, even big time rock and roll stars play covers. They like to play other people's music, it seems like. How many of the songs you play like in a 3-hour set would be cover tunes?
I sort of gauge the crowd. I usually like to keep it somewhere around like 50-50, but if, you know, there's a lot of people that I recognize, they know they're there to hear the original song, so I can put more of those in.
Yeah.
Which is fun. But yeah, if it's people I don't really know, you know, you gotta warm up to them and play the songs that they like or that they recognize.
Will you, I think I know the answer to this, but will you be willing to play us a song?
Absolutely.
You have a guitar. I figured you were prepared for that question.
As long as I don't get a Freebird request.
Casper. What are you going to play for us?
Well, I think I'll do the one that we talked about. How about
the new one?
Sweet Escape?
Oh, Sweet Escape. I love Sweet Escape. Okay. Yes, please. All right, here's Katie Scullin live in the studio playing Sweet Escape.
Myself. kiss on me. Well, I watched you beg Stephen T. Baby, I unchained my own heart and I set myself.
Very nice. Chris is clapping on the other side of the... Conrad, are you clapping, Chris. Green Bay? He's mysteriously dark. Okay. Yeah, cool. There you go. You can hear more. That's a great song. I love
Thank you.
It's got such a bluesy... let me ask you something. What is your favorite genre, would you say, that has influenced your songwriting or music writing styles?
Gosh, I have... I don't know. I like all sorts of music. Sometimes people have referred to me as like a wet noodle because they can't quite put me in a like in a genre. Growing up, I really loved Tori Amos. Amos. I think that this particular song was inspired by Amy Winehouse, which maybe is
interesting.
Why it has sort
okay.
of that bluesy feel to it.
Yeah. It's kind of a haunting song too. It has very lot of undertones, you know, going on there. So
yeah,
that's cool. So how do you know when you have a great song? You have to play it in front of an audience first, or do you go, this is it, this is, I love this?
I think sometimes I just, like, I feel good about it, or, like, it hits me in a way where I'm like, I have to share it. I don't always know if it's good or not, but I think if I'm feeling something when I'm singing it, I guess I'm just hopeful that other people will resonate with that as well.
Do you need that connection with an audience to know? Do you like the song better when people respond to it, or is it a personal thing for you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think for a while I did it because I just like needed to. And then I started to receive feedback from people like, oh my gosh, that song, you know, this happened in my life and this song meant so much to me. And I think about their story and then I look back at the lyrics that I wrote and I'm just kind of like awestruck how a completely different situation means the same thing to them. Mm. And it was a different scenario for me.
Like they connect with it totally different than what you were feeling maybe when you wrote it.
Right. That's or like the storyline. Like, yeah, it's a completely different like situation. But when you look at the lyrics, I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's so strange. Yeah.
So. Katie Scullin is here in studio with me for the second time. You were here probably in the summer, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was in pink pants, so.
You adhere to those rules?
Right.
I'm more brassy than that. I'll wear pink pants after October 1st. I don't care.
Yeah?
That's just how I roll. She's going to hopefully play something else for us. I want to ask you about videos you've done, too.
Okay.
Because I'm fascinated by that. Like, you have great. And if you want to see more of Katie's stuff, go to katiescullin.com. There's a bio there. There's songs, some that have lyrics and videos. It's great stuff. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, get in on the fun. What is your favorite video game? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says The Sims.
Ooh.
I don't even know that. I've heard it, but I don't know anything about that.
I wonder if it's similar. I think Sim City, is that different? I used to love Sim City when I was a kid.
Probably. It sounds like the kids would shorten it out of The Sims.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Thank you, Kate. And she says, oh, Wii Basketball. All right. We'll read more of your text. Let us know what your favorite video game is tonight. Matt Miller is here at 720 breaking down the Golden Globes. Right now, we still got time with Katie Scullin. And that's where we're going to be when we come back. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thomas Crapper Day, the guy that invented the toilet, and that's why they call it the crapper. This guy created a legendary device, the turlet,
yep.
And we rewarded him by naming said turds after this guy's last name. That wasn't the case for Phil Orgasm. That didn't stick. But for whatever reason, Tom Crapper, this is your day. Rejoice. We'll all have one in your honor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Another text from the 715, Mario Kart. That's a popular one here tonight. Katie's played Mario Kart. Chris Casper loves Mario Kart. From the 818, Bridget says, the Wii. Our family has so much fun playing the resort games. That's exactly what I played over the holidays. Those were so much fun. The 100-pin bowling, right, Conrad?
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, I know I can. I was just making sure you were still there.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Jim from Appleton says, I grew up when Pong and Breakout were king. My favorite game was Space Zap. It's a game that you defended your base from invasion. It's so great reading all this stuff. Like, so many video games. I'm just not a gamer. Like, I've heard of Pong, and that was, like, could you even play Pong right now? Do you know what Pong is, Katie? It's just a ball, a graphic, and there's, two paddles.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dullest.
That was, like, one of the first ones, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure the people that got really good at it thought they were hot stuff back in the late 70s. We'll read Steady Eddie. Oh, Steady Eddie's short tonight. He says, and this is for Katie from the 608. Steady Eddie says, I'm enjoying your guest, Katie. Question, what kind of guitar does she play and how did she choose her guitar? That's a great question. I asked her that when she got here and he signs it Steadfast Edward tonight instead of Steady Eddie. So there you go, Katie.
I have a Taylor 414. I was talked into it by a former boyfriend. Way back in the day.
And it's worked out for you, obviously.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It's nice. It's good.
Is that a thin neck or a...
I think so. I have small hands, so... Yeah.
It's funny, because some of the necks... Like, I played ones that have, like, the really wide necks.
Oh,
it's like a struggle almost. Yeah. So, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's good. I think it's a thinner neck.
It's got a great sound. Other ones. Katie Scullin is here in studio. She is a singer-songwriter based here in Madison. She's got a few live shows coming up in the next few months. I'll tell you about those. On your video, or on your website, you've got several videos. What's that like? Like, you like to play the guitar and sing, but you're kind of acting in these videos. What's that like? Was that a natural transition? Or?
I think I've always kind of liked both worlds, acting and music. When I was a kid, I used to make home videos with my friends and we'd write skits and, you know, pull out the camcorder and and I've kind of always been in theater and whatnot. So
Okay. Yeah,
it's fun. I definitely enjoy it. And some of them I've produced myself, some of them I have other producers, and it's a good time.
It is. How do you, when you make a video, you got the song, you wrote the lyrics, you wrote the music, you know what it's about. Do you bring an idea to the director of the video, or does he or she bring stuff and you collaborate? How much of it is you and how much of it is the other person?
I've done it a few different ways. I've done it where, you know, I'll have the idea and then we'll throw it together. Or I've done it where the producer and I collaborate. And then I've also done it where I let the producer just take the reins.
Nice.
Yeah, which all is right. Nerve-wracking sometimes.
What was the one? Okay, so I watched Endless Summer, which is pretty much just you swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Underwater, which is really cool. How long do you have to hold your breath?
Oh, man. You know, I used to be underwater all the time when I was a kid. And then when I filmed that, I was like, I'm a little out of shape here. But as long as I could. We actually tried to film it in a lake, my best friend and I. And then we realized there was only two of us out in the middle of the water. And she was underwater and I was in a dress. And, you know, it was kind of scary at the same time because, like, when you're in clothes, like, the water weighs you down.
Yeah,
and I felt like I was stuck inside of a fishnet, and I was like, this could be really bad. And it was kind of murky, like the footage. It turned out pretty cool, but then we decided that we wanted to do it in more of a controlled environment, and so we did it in a pool.
You have another one, which is almost like a movie. What's the one I was thinking of? Dream Awake?
Yes.
Is that the one? Is that your son or daughter in the film as a baby?
Yep.
And you're so... What was that process like? Was that your idea to bring in your actual child into the video, or
that was the director.
Okay.
He and I had never even met before. He just like he must have heard about my album release, bought the album, listened to it, and then he's like, "Hey, you know, I'm a film director. Do you want to meet for coffee sometime?" And so I met him, and I really liked him a lot. His name's Bob Tronson. He's a director here in Madison, and we did collaborate a bit. He had some ideas and. You know, I was like, yeah, not totally comfortable with that. Like, let's change it to this. And then it all worked out in the end. So
what is that song about? I had the lyrics in front of me, but you've got like, it's fun. You're rolling around having those really sweet moments at home with your own child.
Yeah.
Was that mostly your idea?
That was his idea
okay.
to bring that in. Yeah. I think the song it's about... It's about love. It's about moving on. It's about heartbreak, and the good that comes of it.
Where would you say you get most of your inspiration? I mean, a lot of love and you know, all that kind of stuff. But is there a theme that has inspired you more than any other when it comes to writing?
It's definitely about love, I think.
Okay.
And also like. Trying to make beauty out of tragedy, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's been, you know, some hard times that I've gone through personally, and I've always tried to take every song that I'm writing, you know, if I'm feeling a hardship or whatever, to like see the brighter side of it.
Yeah. That definitely comes through.
I hope so.
You have kind of a melancholy thing sometimes, but you bring it up. It's great.
Yeah.
Katie Scullin is here. Matt Miller joins me at 7:20. But after the news, Katie will do another song for us?
Absolutely.
We're gonna keep talking. Maybe we can squeeze two songs and we'll see what happens. If your voice. Cool.
Yeah.
You feeling good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. A lot of stuff going around. All right, Katie Scullin is here. After the news, we'll have a few more minutes with Katie. In studio, live from Madison, it's Nightlight, and it's great to have you with me. Let us know what your favorite video game is, and I will read it on the radio. You can't beat that, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some of the authors of Project 2025 now in the Trump administration. What are their plans for our country? All the details with Andra Watkins coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Today is the day for about 2 million federal workers to tell the president and Elon Musk whether they want to stay on the job. Here's ABC's Christiane Cordero.
Nearly 2 million federal government workers face a deadline today to take a buyout from the Trump administration or risk being fired. At least 40,000 government employees have already accepted the buyout, representing about 2% of the federal workforce.
The buyout's part of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Democrats in Congress are demanding to know more about his role in the administration now that Musk has access to millions of federal workers' personal information. The proposal to take over the Gaza Strip by the Trump administration is being met with pushback by the Palestinians. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas calling it a serious violation of international law. Police say the shooter who killed 10 people in Sweden's worst mass shooting earlier this week had a connection to the adult education school where it happened. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with